A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, Rachel here, and welcome back to Upfront. Today, I'm joined by one of the managers at the very centre of this season's thrilling title race. Gareth Taylor and Man City have taken it up another level this season and kept pace with Chelsea every step of the way. Now, with 6 games to go, they're level on points and cannot afford to slip up, especially against their City rivals on Saturday, Manchester United. Ahead of one of the biggest games of the season, I sat down with Gareth to discuss Manchester City's season so far, his new contract at the club, and the derby this weekend. Thank you very much for joining us, Gareth. I know how busy you are. You've got a big weekend coming up. Firstly, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. I think we're in a good place. You know, we've had a nice week's preparation for this game. Obviously, a long journey we've just recovered from Brighton down to Crawley, long trip. But the players were great. I thought we really executed the game plan well. And we're just really looking forward to these final 6 games. And obviously, an exciting time to look forward to this game.
You said about long journey down to Brighton. I feel like you've had quite a few London trips like the past few weeks. It just seems to be back up, back down, back up. That must be a bit frustrating.
Yeah, it can be. But, you know, the team travel well. You know, we get well looked after. The accommodation we have is good. The way we travel is good as well. We've really got to know Shoreditch really well because we just seem to drive through it every weekend. So I've got to know that place really well. But yeah, of course, we get well looked after. And then the performance staff we have as well after games, you know, between the next preparation for training, between the next games, you know, the level of quality that we have is really good. And again, I think it's just another real big step in where the women's game is going. You know, that ability for the girls to be the very, very best versions of themselves, you know, with all of the recovery techniques that we use, we're able to kind of access the best quality we possibly can for the girls.
And I have to congratulate you on your new 3-year contract with Manchester City, which you signed recently, of course. By the end of the contract, you'll have been at the club for 7 years as women's manager and more, I guess, as a coach at Man City generally. Have you always seen yourself as kind of a project manager? Do you enjoy the idea of kind of going on this journey with a team?
Oh, yeah, of course. I suppose most coaches would say the same, that they, you know, all of us want more time to see the kind of journey through, because sometimes you don't kind of reap the rewards when your turnover of managers is very, very quick. And of course, there's many factors that go into why clubs make changes to coaches, and I understand that completely. I think it's obviously, we're in a results-based business, But of course, I think there needs to be, in any really good organisation, and I'm fortunate enough to be in one at this moment, you know, there always seems to be a plan, and trying to get the right people on board, trying to get the right personnel through the door is really key to executing that plan really well. But I think it, when you have these types of bigger picture thinking, I think it's really important that everybody is on board with the kind of, you're going to face some rough moments, and there's going to be some difficult times. And I think there's so many different examples when you look up and down the game of, you know, potentially environments that change managers quite a lot and never really seem to get anywhere. And I think there's no secret, particularly to what we see in the men's game, what we see in the women's game, of that longevity of one manager being in charge with the necessary support and the right plan. I think that's when you see really, really good things. And, you know, there's many examples. Emma at Chelsea, being at the club for a long time, has been really well supported, would have had difficult moments, I'm sure, early on. But you can see that the success that that brought. And then obviously in the men's game, you're seeing it now with what we have with Pep, and what's previous with Sir Alex Ferguson, which was probably really unique, and we'll probably never see the like of that time again because of the way the world is.
And we often talk about, like, when teams go through tough times. I mean, the start of last season was tough for you guys, but, and then you had several key players leave that time as well. But for you as a manager, how do you learn from those difficult moments and kind of ride them out and I guess implement things that you learn? Because I guess the difficult times is when you learn a lot.
Oh yeah, of course, you massively do. I think it's a big learning in many moments, and sometimes it's trying to keep an equal balance on success and failure. I've always spoken about that you're never really as good as what they say, and you're never as bad as what they say. I think it's just keeping your circle close, trusting in what you do. I think that's really, really key. I've spoken to a lot of other coaches around that. Coaches are more senior than me and have been in the game a longer time than me. I tend to glean that quite a bit from them. And then also when I have conversations with younger coaches than myself, I'll always talk about believing in what you do. I think that's really, really key. I know people talk quite a lot about plan A, plan B, plan C. And of course, you have to adapt and be prepared to try and find another solution in certain games, in certain moments. But I think that really perfecting plan A is the one. And you need to be really loyal to it. You need to really invest in it, give your time to it. But also keep the balance, because what we tend to do as coaches is really probably overanalyze when we suffer. And probably the other way, or when you're on such a good run, which we have been recently, that occasionally you can neglect certain things and paper over the cracks a little bit more. So I think it's just keeping that healthy balance between both is really important.
And you say that you talk to other managers, like, in terms of keeping your circle close, what kind of support do you have around you when you're going through difficult times as a manager?
Well, I have my family, my close family. I have work colleagues, some that I work with, some that have been in previous environments with myself. I think I have my agent, I have my close family, and then I have my wider family with all my relations back in the West Country. So, yeah, I think they've learned to cope with the kind of ups and downs of the role that I'm in. And, you know, they're hugely supportive. And, you know, after a while, those conversations become quite normal, and they can become quite repetitive, that it's a results-based business. We know that there's going to be conflict, there's going to be questions asked if the team aren't doing so well. And that can be difficult, but actually some of those moments are probably when you do find out about yourself quite a lot. And I quite enjoy that part, because actually you look at it and think, well, I've been in that situation before, and I had it many times as a player also, which was a slightly different feeling. But yeah, I think just drawing upon potentially kind of especially speaking to other coaches, I think is quite key. And it could be anyone. It could be Rob Edwards at Luton Town, who I get on really well with. It could be Chris Wilder at Sheffield United. It could be even Pep at the first team. And of course, the comments and the kind of influence and the detail that they'll give and the suggestions that they give are really kind of what you know anyway. But it's nice to hear it. It is nice to hear it.
And in terms of your family, have they kind of just gotten used to you, like, those ups and downs? You know, sometimes, especially I think with maybe managers, we think a lot about the players, but managers off the field, your people, you've got families, and, you know, when you go through those tough times, has your family just kind of learned to deal with it? I guess you've been in the game for a while now.
Yeah, they do. Well, I think they do. They handle me really well. I don't tend to bring too much home with me. I try to, you know, once I walk through that door, it's difficult at times, but I think I try to kind of, once I've walked over that threshold, it's okay. This is where I can switch off a little bit. My wife's really good. She knows very little about football, but actually she can really help with some clear directions, because it just kind of cuts across any of the nonsense. And it's really, it's kind of like when you hear it, you go, why didn't I think of that? That really makes loads of logic. And then my sons are a little bit older now. They're 21 and 25, and, you know, they love the game, and they're very good in keeping me balanced, I think, as well. Again, like I've said, on success and failure, they're very neutral, and I like that. I think that's a really good way to be.
And in terms of that kind of resilience, I guess, looking at the team and that tough period, I guess, they went through last season on new players coming in and stuff, do you think that's what's helped grow the resilience of the team that we love watching this season?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously being able to work with the same group from previous season has helped. I think that we are trying our very best to squeeze the maximum out of individuals in order to help the team. And I think that's been pretty evident this season. We've seen players that have really stepped up, and their journey might have been slightly different. Like Jess Parks would have been different, obviously being out on loan last season, which was really beneficial for her, to then come back into our environment and be able to be patient in having to wait for her opportunity, but then stepping in and taking it. So I think there's so many different kind of journeys that the players have been on. But the one thing I like about what we try to do at the club is, of course, we play in a particular way, and there are certain concepts that we really live and die by and train on a daily basis. But of course, I think when you see us this season, probably when we've been at our best, is like we have that is evident, that part, but also there's a freedom within it that players can really express themselves. And I think that, you know, Lauren Hemp is such a creative player as an example. Chloe Kelly will be, Mary Fowler. Sometimes they just need that freedom to be able to go and be themselves. And that's what I really like about what we've done, and probably previously not being able to do that because we've been trying to build it from the start. Whereas now there's so many different adaptations to kind of the way we play based on what the opposition do. I think you're seeing real high levels of quality from the players and high levels of intelligence as well. And that comes from being together a lot, training together a lot, and not trying to disrupt too many things with obviously incomings and outgoings, which will always be difficult. I think it's really difficult at the moment to try and get players to secure them for longer contracts. And most head coaches will say exactly the same. So it's really difficult to do that, but we're trying to convince them, because the norm previously when I first started the job, you know, over three seasons ago, was 1 and 2 year contracts maximum. And the outlook of the women's game has just completely changed with the, you know, the exposure that's happening now, and obviously the increased level of support and finances as well.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like we could go into a whole thing about contracts and longevity and stuff in the women's game, but just some of the principles, I guess, you were talking about. One of the big things around you guys, I suppose, is your defence. Like, we always talk about that incredible front line that you have, but when we spoke to Demi Stokes at the start of February, she said that in 2016, the WSL winning side was built on a solid defence. And I think the same could probably be said about this season as well. 10 goals conceded in the league. What do you think has been key to that strong foundation at the back?
I would probably say just a couple of things. I think a change in mindset. And it's not to say that we were dismissive of the past, of trying to be really resolute in defending. I think when you think of what we've done this season, and we were disappointed in giving that goal away against Brighton right at the end, this took us into double figures, because we were really, really proud of the fact that we were the only team in single figures for conceded. I think your tendency would be to look towards the defenders. But of course, we defend as a team, and every team that does well, it's not just about the defenders, the goalkeeper. You know, we really work hard as a team. So there's been a mentality shift for certain, because I think there's a newfound kind of determination and desire to not give anything away cheaply. And then the second part would be more around training it. I think we train it a lot. We put players in stressful situations that are probably going to be more stressful than the actual game. So you know, I've always been a big believer in the game at the end being an extension of the training week. You know, that just comes as an extension of the week. And the fact that we've got quality players within our group and good numbers of availability, I think sometimes we are, the toughest part of the week will be actually training against their teammates than actually playing at the weekend. And that's no disrespect to any of the teams at all, but we really train at a high level. We really push the intensity. We really put players under quite high, severe pressure so that it feels fairly normal when they go into the games.
That was something I think Serena Wiegmann spoke about, was how she liked to put the players under pressure, almost kind of annoy them. She'd sometimes be the referee in games and like would be doing things wrong to stress the players out. And it's like you're, I guess, challenging them in those difficult moments to then make the right decisions so that when you are playing in game moments, those decisions are right. And I guess there is a there's a real maturity about the team now. Do you think that's down to that high level of training?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things, definitely, you know, we do it as well. Sometimes, well, we don't do it deliberately. We just do have sometimes bad refereeing. I'm talking about in training with our staff. And the girls will always challenge. They will. And sometimes they have to address the next moment when they've just been sounded off for the last 20 seconds. So I think that's great. And I think it's healthy because it shows that people want to win. But what you can't do is allow that to fester. And, you know, all of a sudden now it costs you in the next moment and the next action. So I think that's really important that the girls regulate really quickly. And I would say that's one thing, or another thing that I think we've done really well this season, is any time we've had kind of a negative result, maybe a negative performance, and there haven't really been many of those, I think we've really bounced back very, very quickly. I think that's probably one of the been the most impressive things I've seen about this group of players, is that they know, they don't like it, but they know how to take the bumps in the road a little bit better now.
Yeah, I think back to that Chelsea game earlier on in the season. That was a bit a very unusual game, I suppose, in terms of cards and bookings. And actually, I think the way players dealt with it was pretty impressive and pretty level-headed. You made the point there about conceding that goal to Brighton and how annoying it was for you. Goal difference might actually come down to it. It could come down to goal difference at the end of the season, potentially. So how do you balance that desire and need for more goals while also maintaining that great defensive record?
Yeah, well, first thing is on the goal difference. I mean, you know, it was a good shift for us at the weekend in terms of getting closer to it. I think if we'd have won 5-0, we would have gone top maybe, because we're two off of it at the moment. But we'll catch that up. If that's what it takes, we know we've got the ability to catch that up. And of course, the margins are so tight in the WSL that, you know, we've seen in my time of being in this role, each season has gone down to the final game. It was us the first season. I think it was Arsenal the second season. It was United running Chelsea to the last game last season. I don't see that changing. And then on top of that, if you've got teams who are on equal points, then it does come down to that goal difference. And of course, we're more than capable. We proved that at the weekend of opening up and going against teams and doing really well. So we're pretty calm. I think once you start to chase down goals, particularly with players, if you address players and say to them, like, oh, we've got to score more goals, guys. We have to score more goals in this second half, as an example. I think then that's when the decision-making can slightly go and anxiety creeps in that, oh, we have to score. When actually it just becomes around decision-making. If we just try and improve our decisions as much as we possibly can, and we talk about making oppositions defend. If we have a really good attack and all of a sudden we let them off the hook with poor decision, then we've not made them defend. And I think that's why we try and hold ourselves accountable to.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back to the other end of the pitch now. We have spoken a lot on this podcast this season about Ciara Keating and her meteoric rise. She's been brilliant. What was it at the time that made you think, okay, she's ready to take the number one shirt, especially at such a young age?
Yeah. One thing we spoke about at the beginning of the season, because I thought long and hard about this in the summer, was obviously in terms of the way we wanted to play, was really key, that goalkeeping position for us in the build-up play. But not just that. I spoke to the three goalkeepers, pulled them all together and said, look, this is what I need from a goalkeeper. And I made it really clear that it was kind of a clean slate and you'll have opportunities to showcase all of the things that I need you to do. You know, coming for crosses, taking crosses, making saves, being really top in the short build-up, being good in the long build-up. And obviously all three of those goalkeepers have different things. They bring different things. And that's great because you don't want everybody to be the same. And I suppose the more pre-season went on and we started to get to the first game, it was kind of Ciara at that point was the one who was performing better in all of those areas than the other two. And, you know, Ciara has probably been able to be the best version of herself this season on the strength of Ellie and Sandy. So I think that needs to be mentioned because I think it's really important. Those guys have really supported each other very, very well. And yeah, I think that's been it. It's been really simple, really. You know, there's a lots of things that Ciara brings. There's lots of excitement around her because of where her game can go. And we forget that she's very young, of course, which I think is the exciting part because she can be fearless. But also, we have to understand that there's going to be mistakes. No goalkeeper will go through a season without dropping a clanger. And I think it's really important that when that happens, we keep calm and understand it's a part of the process of being a footballer. And the important thing is how you react to that. And I think she's reacted to those types of errors that she's occasionally made very, very well and brought a lot to the team.
I guess as well, she had to have known that there was almost, she was allowed to make those mistakes, that you're young, you're stepping into this role, they're going to happen. How much did you maybe, or how much does she, I guess, rely on some of the more senior players around her? Because that was something Demi touched on as well, was kind of bringing some players in under their wing and I guess letting them know that mistakes will happen and we just move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys are crucial. You know, we're really fortunate that we have that knowledge and experience within the group in Demi, the likes of Steph. Obviously, Alex is a very experienced player now. Leila Uhabi is very experienced. Laura Coombs is an experienced player. And we have a crop of youth players in there as well. So it's good for Ciara because she has some real key relationships with a lot of the players in there, the likes of Laura Brown, Ruby Mace and Ciara. They get on very, very well. And then she's obviously got that experienced players to be able to help and call on. And, you know, occasionally Steph will bring her into line or Alana will. So they keep her grounded because she's a lively character. But I think it's great. You know, again, like I said previously, players are able to be themselves, to express themselves. And at times we're going to see good things. And on occasions we're going to see things where things don't go to plan. But we're equally supportive in both.
Yeah, I think Demi told us that sometimes they call her mum, which I thought was quite funny, or maybe she found it, I don't know, slightly offensive. But we got to touch on the cups, because the fact that the Conte Cup and the FA Cup both came in so close together in the same week, you know, it must have been really difficult to take when you got knocked out of both cups in the same week. What do you, I guess, say to the players in that moment to, I guess, really drive them? I mean, we all know you want to win the league. We know you're pushing Chelsea all the way to the end, but how do you kind of pick yourselves up and pick up that morale?
Yeah, it was difficult. It was a difficult moment, there's no doubt. I think, you know, pre that Chelsea game in the Conte Cup on the Thursday, we were 12 games consecutively, and a lot of those were those games involved Conte Cup. It always seemed to be like we play Conte Cup on a midweek, and then we play the FA Cup. So it was two different competitions, and then we go back to the WSL. So those games tend to come in like pairs, and when you get down to semi-finals and quarter-finals, you know that the margins are going to be so tight. And in any cup competition, any false move, and you kind of, next thing you know, you're out. So I think it's really important that the players bounce back in the way they did. There was a difficult moment after Chelsea. I think we were in on the Friday and we spoke to the players, and I think that it was very it was a difficult one to take because we played so well, but also we didn't do enough at the top end of the pitch in making Hannah Hampton have to really work harder than what she did. I mean, I thought she was the player of the game for them, but you know, we still expected us to finish off one of those attacks, many attacks that we had. The Tottenham game was a little bit, we weren't great in the second half. We were a bit patchy in our build-up play, and that was a tough one, because we were talking about like the last second, and before you know it, you're out of two cup competitions. And that was really tough to take, because we pride ourselves on that, and we gave everything to win those games and didn't do it. But then you look at, obviously, then the turnaround time to go to Brighton. People would have been watching that game a little bit and going, right, okay, what City got here? And I mentioned to the players after the game, the thing that gave me the most pride was the way we trusted in what we do. And we had a game plan. It was the game that we anticipated, and we executed that game plan very, very well to a high, high level. And that's great play. That's great credit to the players, because they really deserve to have those moments and see the rewards. And again, you know, it gets exciting now, because we're six games left, and with it in our own hands. So that's an exciting place to be.
And, you know, your form, of course, has been strong in the WSL, but I guess the big one is the positive, it's been the wins over Manchester United, including earlier in the season at Old Trafford. In this situation with the title race, do you want to harness that kind of Derby Day bragging rights feel? Does it kind of just give it a little bit more energy? Or do you, I guess, remove that entirely and this is just another game?
Yeah, you try to normalise it. That's the hard part. I think we always talk about playing the game, not the occasion. And of course, we understand what it means. We've been successful a couple of times already against United. And that was a big moment. It was a big, big moment for us at Old Trafford earlier in the season, and one that will live long in the memory. But of course, we want the same again. We're looking forward to it at the weekend. My job is to just try and normalise the game as much as we can, although we understand. Because you don't really need to push the players in this one. They're going to be really up for it. Both teams are going to be up for it. You know, and our form in the WSL has been good. 10 consecutive wins is fantastic in a 22-game season, and we want to see that through. We want to push it to 16 games. If we can do that, then we know we have a really good chance.
Where do you, I guess looking maybe ahead, where do you hope to see Manchester City by the end of your contract? You know, you've just signed a new one. Where do you want this team to be in those 3-4 years' time?
In Europe, and getting to the latter stages of competitions in Europe, if not winning. I think, you know, the margins are so tight. We've seen that previously. You've seen, obviously, teams suffer a little bit this season, and United and Arsenal in those qualification rounds is so difficult. The ironic thing is if you were to get to the group stages outright, I think, you know, you'd have a really good chance of making quarterfinals minimum, and then anything can happen. So I think it's that's where I want us to be. Sometimes you can feel like you're a long way away from it. Other times you can feel like you're really close. And it is really, really tough to earn it, because it's difficult unless you go straight through to the groups. That qualification process, you know, you finish second or third, you know pretty much you're going to play a top team who would have finished second in Europe somewhere.
And I guess it's a journey, isn't it? I mean, I'm out in Amsterdam watching Chelsea. I want more English teams in the Champions League. I want to be following your journeys as well. And I guess Chelsea had the similar thing, constantly coming up against Wolfsburg and just getting knocked out. And I felt like you've had a similar thing with Spanish teams, have been your kind of needle. And I guess you just, it's almost like you need that one win over them to just start that journey and hopefully, you know, get through to the group stages.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, I know Mark mentioned it. Mark Skinner mentioned that, you know, it's really difficult for them to play a game against PSG when that kind of feels like a group game or a, and I know exactly where he's coming from, but you know, these are the rules that are set. the competition levels are so high. We're trying our best to be there. We'd love to go through to the group stages. If that doesn't happen, then we have to be trying our very, very best to qualify. And like I say, it's such a big difference on qualifying and not qualifying. When you come to those games, it's a big one, because it really comes at the beginning of the season and it can just set you off.
Well, fingers crossed for more English teams in the Champions League next season. Thank you so much for joining us, Gareth. It's been great having you on, especially ahead of such a big game. So best of luck in the derby and, of course, for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks again to Gareth for joining us, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about the weekend's football, including that spicy Manchester derby. In the meantime, you can find us on Instagram and X. Chloe is at morgie_89, I'm at girlsintheball, and we are at upfront_pod. You can also find us on YouTube at upfrontpod. See you next week.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.